Hey everyone, this is Jay from Project Unity, bringing you another UAP news video. The purpose of these videos is to provide those who do not use multiple social media platforms with an opportunity to get the same information as those that do via this UAP news series. This is a special episode focusing solely on the recent Q&A session with Luis Elizondo conducted on Twitter. Luis Elizondo is the current Director of Programs and Services for To The Stars Academy of Arts and Science, and he was the former Director of the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, known internally as ATIP. The purpose of ATIP was the tracking of UAPs and subsequent analysis of their signatures and capabilities in order to derive R&D topics for technological study into various novel concepts through a variety of disciplines, all stemming from the observations recorded by ATIP of UAPs. Out of all of the members of To The Stars Academy, Lou has become the most active in engaging with the wider UFO community, and in this video, I am going to read through some of the more interesting responses that we receive from Lou on Twitter. The first question comes from Twitter user WarServant. You mentioned UAP patterns useful for investigating. With equipment ready and in place, are naval ships being used as bait? Let's call it coincident deployment. Lou Elizondo responds with, fantastic question, and unfortunately one I'm not at liberty to elaborate on at this time. But keep asking this question, it's a very important one. I think that's quite an interesting response from Lou. Although he doesn't say much, he does seem to be hinting towards the validity of the question that's being asked, and the idea that in some format, United States Navy carrier vessels or groups could be being used in some way to bait UFOs into their area. Next question comes from Twitter user The Weather Balloon. If the ATIP staff didn't have the required clearance on information that regarded the origin of the UAPs, why did Lou Elizondo mention the phenomena as being off-world? What's the criteria for labeling these objects as extraterrestrial? To which Lou Elizondo responds, ATIP had the required clearances regarding the origin. The issue was no one exactly knew the answer. And let's not confuse the term extraterrestrial with interdimensional, superterrestrial, or ultraterrestrial. Lots of other options than simply them aliens out there. So another interesting response, just kind of hinting towards the idea that this is actually a very expansive topic, and it may not be a simple explanation in regards to what the phenomena is. Next question comes from Twitter user Mad Crypto Hatter, who asks, hi Lou, first a big thanks for your amazing work that you guys are doing. I was wondering if there are any more videos coming with good quality for the general public. Those grainy videos that you can hardly make out with a little white dot makes them just laugh. To which Lou Elizondo responds, videos are entertaining and make for great discussion, but it's only one part of the story, as much as people want more and better videos. I think that will happen only when the government has a plan to address the issue. The good news is that the conversation is happening. Next question comes from Twitter user Dominique Palmato, who asks, why hide retrieved craft from us, quotation marks, classified, seems to be a convenient excuse for another agenda. Lou Elizondo responds by saying, you are correct. Sometimes the classification system has been abused to hide the truth or minimize embarrassment. But in the case of UAPs, I think it may be even more complicated than that. Frustrating? Yes. Deliberate? Not necessarily. Next up, we have Twitter user Brian Jones, who asks, what do you think the most logical and likely progression will look like in the advancement of awareness that will lead to disclosure? Can it somehow be outside of government? Speculative best guess is welcome. People want to hear it, brother. Lou Elizondo responds with, I think we are well on the path already. This topic is only becoming a successful campaign because the people demand it. It's the demand for truth that is driving otherwise risk-averse politicians and bureaucrats to have the conversation. In short, progression looks like this. Next up, we have a question by Bojangles, He says, "Hey Lou, has your time at ATIP changed your opinion on existence after death?" Lou Elizondo responds with, "Whoa, heavy question. Maybe let me think about that for a while. This requires a careful and thoughtful response, and I am not sure I am qualified to make it. After all, it's only my opinion." Now, that's a very interesting response, because that seems to be in some way indicative that during his time in ATIP, he did learn things that have made him question or at least expand upon his ideas of life after death, or, you know, dare I say, consciousness and what that might mean ultimately. And so this is quite an interesting response from Lou, in my opinion. Next question is by Twitter user Music and Truth. They ask, "So you mentioned the phenomenon movie, and for many people, the aerial school kids were a highlight. Is there anything in your work you've learned that adds additional credibility or lends credence to what we saw there? Things maybe you can't be specific about?" Lou responds with, "Children are often great sources of information because they have not been exposed to tradecraft or deceptive behavior techniques and countermeasures. As a result, what you see is what you get with kids. Body language and voice inflection are critical. I saw no signs of deception." So Lou Elizondo here is pretty much just confirming the fact that he believes the children are telling the truth and that they're not trying to deceive anyone, and that their body language is indicative of people who are telling the truth. Next up is Twitter user Jeff5647A, who asks, "Lou, you recently told David Marseille that there's a lot more information to come, but that decision must be made mutually, not unilaterally. Any insight you can share on the parties that would be involved in that mutual decision? How can the public help? Thank you." Lou Elizondo responds by saying, "Progress requires all parties to move forward together. No different than an elephant walking and making sure his or her feet are coordinated. In this case, it's society, politics, media, scientific and academic communities, international organizations, brackets, UN, NATO, etc., close brackets." Next up is Anthony Kennedy, who asks, "Can you tell us more about the connection of the White Buffalo Calf Woman, the Lakota Nation, and its current relation to the Bledsoe events studied by multiple US government entities?" Lou Elizondo responds by saying, "Indigenous people have always had a close, spiritual connection to nature and our world. I would never presume to speak on behalf of Indigenous people, but I hold a deep and profound respect for their approach." Next up, we have a question by Twitter user Mike Damante, who asks, "Lou, do you think that the UAP UFO topic can get lost in shuffle in DC with the election, a possible constitutional crisis and the pandemic, just to name a few big issues?" Lou Elizondo responds by saying, "We are already living in crazy times, brackets, COVID, terrorism, social anxiety, political strife, and questionable economy, close brackets. And yet this topic still makes the front page news. I think once things settle down, expect an even greater interest." Next up, we have a question by Twitter user Vidius, who asks, "Lou, you told David Marseille that you saw things in ATIP you were privy to, that there'd be no question what it is. Can you elaborate on this statement? What is it? Who knows the government has it? And how can Congress see it?" Lou Elizondo responds, "Yes, indeed, I saw compelling data that demonstrably proves the reality of UAPs. I believe some in Congress have already seen this evidence for themselves, probably why they are taking it seriously." Next question comes from Twitter user Anomaly, who asks, "Is there any data or info that points towards a possible theory regarding what the UAP in the Nimitz incident were doing or trying to accomplish in the area?" Lou Elizondo responds, "Yes, but not sure if it's nuclear related, brackets, i.e. nuclear propulsion, nuclear weapons, nuclear power generation, etc., or if it's good old-fashioned H2O that relates to the Tic Tac incident, or something entirely different we have yet to consider that is a possibility." Next, we have a question by Twitter user Steven, who asks, do you think the UAPTF will be able to reveal more encounters in between the Nimitz and Roosevelt with videos or any encounters still happening to this day? For Ava's wingman, she said these encounters have never stopped. Thank you, Lou. Lou Elizondo responds with, she is correct, the encounters haven't stopped, but the role of the task force is to look at new incidents, not necessarily old ones. For this reason, I hope you will all get to see even more compelling cases with even better footage. Next question comes from Twitter user The Weather Balloon. When does your non-disclosure agreement expire? Do you still have to submit to polygraph tests? If so, how often? Lou Elizondo says, my NDA is lifetime, as those with clearances can attest. Only when information becomes unclassified can I talk about it. Yes, I am still subject to polygraphs and periodic reinvestigations. Next question comes from Twitter user Daniel Lusa Ribes, who asks, in addition to the Senate briefings, have there been briefings with scientists as well? Also, why not inviting, for example, Mr. Elon Musk and Mr. Jim Bridenstine to a big round table where they're exposed to all the evidence? Lou Elizondo responds by saying, I am working on a proposal now on this very idea. Next question comes from Twitter user Izov Mesmer. Lou, have you ever looked at the data from NIDS on Skinwalker Ranch? Did you ever see the data from the DOD on Skinwalker Ranch? Is the TTSA interested in high strangeness cases? Lou Elizondo responds with, I want to be careful here. I have always maintained a firewall between ATIP and ORSAP. Am I aware? Yes. Was it my entire focus? No. Next question comes from Twitter user Kyle, who asks, will 2021 surpass 2020 in terms of moving closer to disclosure? 2020 was a big year with the Davis memo going mainstream and the New York Times articles. Also, have any more compelling UAP witnesses come forward after Unidentified Season 2 aired? Lou responds with, it's always hard to make accurate predictions about the future, but if the past is any telltale, I think we are on a very good trajectory. Next question comes from Twitter user Audacity, who asks, hi Lou, many thanks for doing another Q&A. Just curious to know if it is the information that you have learnt about the phenomenon that is classified, or is it how you obtained that information that is classified, or both? Lou Elizondo responds with, information is classified to protect sources and methods, meaning what, how, where, and who can all be classified. In short, both aspects can be classified, but mostly it's the how aspect that remains most sensitive. Next question is by Twitter user Akam1129, who asks, the US Congress is now interested in this issue. Do you know if other countries are preparing to study it at a political level publicly? Or if this question could interest the United Nations soon? Lou responds with, simply put, yes. Take the recent effort with Japan as an example. We are making great progress. And for those that aren't aware, I believe Japan has made its own guidelines similar to the Navy guidelines by the US government in regards to reporting UAPs to a proper channel of reporting and making it more official than it was in the past. Next question is by Twitter user Torbjorn Lungfist. Mr. Elizondo, thank you so much for doing this Q&A. In an interview, you alluded to the book Chains of the Sea, providing a new perspective of the phenomena. Could you please elaborate a bit, since the UAPC connection seems rather obvious at this point? Lou Elizondo responds with, Chains of the Sea has little to do with the sea and more to do with the possibility of an ultra-terrestrial universe. My recommendation for the book, second of the third short stories, is the way in which the story, fiction, is told, forces the reader to consider other possibilities about the nature of the phenomenon. Next question is by Twitter user Akam1129, who asks, some senators and congressmen have been briefed. What were the criteria for this selection and the steps to come into this process? Lou Elizondo responds with, committees. It's all about the committees. We prefer to spend our time and attention addressing those which are relevant to our national security. Congress is divided and focused on many different issues, As such, some areas are less relevant than others as they relate to the phenomenon. Next question is by Twitter user The Undead Gaucho, who asks, is it possible that the phenomenon itself does not want disclosure? Why is it that whatever is behind this technology has not deduced a way to make open, transparent contact with our species? This is absolutely possible, but it might not be for the reasons some people think. We must remain open-minded. As my dad used to say, careful jumping into the sea when you see fins in the water. Maybe we are the sharks. Next question comes from Twitter user Jamie Higgs, who asks, do you have any plans in TTSA in partnering with other international UAP agencies, South America's CEFA, for example? Lou Elizondo responds with, we are always looking for new opportunities to partner with other organizations with similar goals. Our trips to Europe and South America have served as wonderful catalysts. We are working diligently behind the scenes and hopefully be made public in a not too distant future. Next question comes from Twitter user John Majorowski, who asks, say full out worldwide disclosure happens tomorrow, what happens to TTSA? Will the objectives and mission stay the same or evolve? Lou responds, I believe we must always adjust, adapt, and evolve with the times. Mother Nature shares insights, and we must include it in our future calculations. Next question comes from Benedict Orn Halterson, who asks, you mentioned recently that you were looking forward to people you worked with in the Pentagon to come out of the shadows. Can we expect others to become more vocal in the public like you guys are? That would be a powerful way of keeping the momentum going. Lou responds, that depends on how much crap they get if/when they come out. They've seen the ways I and others have been treated so far, and in some cases, it's prevented others from coming forward. Some in the press and blogs haven't been kind to guys like me. Hopefully, that is beginning to change. Next question comes from Twitter user Izov Mesmer. I fully respect all the brave work you do and the high caliber of you and your team. Do you think it is possible for members of high-ranking officials and intelligence agents involved in UAP/UFOs to become compromised? Lou responds, yes, as human beings we are all susceptible to compromise, both in our private lives and our professional ones, whether it's family, money, status, or other influences. The key is to destigmatize this topic where some of those barriers are removed. Thank you for watching this Luis Elizondo UAP News special. I hope this has been informative and that you found Lou's responses interesting. I would highly encourage people to comment their opinions on the various responses we received from Lou. Let us know what you thought in the comment section below. Until next time, stay healthy and stay curious.